Blog Talk Radio.
About it, I started in the church as a little girl, 7 years old, and grandmother used to take me to church back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I used to sing for the Lord, and I used to sing in the adult choir, and I loved the Lord with all my heart. By the time I was 9 years old, I was gung-ho, and my grandmother even said to me one day, she said, "You know, baby, God's going to use you one day," and I didn't know what she meant. But I knew I liked the sound of God using me. By the time I was 11 years old, my mother and father and my five brothers and my little sister, we moved from Tulsa to California. My dad's job had transferred him out here. And by the time I was 12 years old, I found myself in the nightclubs in Los Angeles. My mom and dad used to go to the clubs on the weekends. They didn't know the Lord Jesus. And grandma wasn't around anymore, so we just quit going to church. I was in the nightclubs at 12 years old, and that was the worst place and the last place I needed to be. But I had a praying grandmother. By the time I was 13 years old, I had recorded my first single and began to open up for people like Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin, B.B. King, and Bill Cosby. I remember opening up for him one time, and things began to happen. Hallelujah. Things began to happen all around me. The devil had a trap set. He was going to set me up, because, see, I liked it. I liked the money. I was making a lot of money, and I liked the glamour, and I liked the applause, because that said, "I love you." We all want to build. Hallelujah. I didn't know that Jesus loved me. I didn't know it then. When I was 16 years old, I had had a baby out of wedlock, and by the time I was 17 years old, I left home and joined the cast of Hair, and I began to travel all across the country. I was making more money than my mom and dad put together by then, and things were looking pretty good. Then I was introduced to marijuana. Devil had a trap set. Next thing I know, it was pills. Pills to get up in the morning and pills to go to bed at night. Then it was the alcohol. And then I became very promiscuous and ran around with a lot of people I had no business being with. So one day I was introduced to cocaine, and I know that all drugs are a spirit. this cocaine became my best friend. And I began to hang out with the devil, and I did everything that I was big and bad enough to do. And I'm not glorifying him. I'm just letting him know that I don't belong to you. Hallelujah. I've been set free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I went on for about 12 years of my life, and I traveled with people, and I worked with Chaka Khan and Rufus, and I worked with Captain and Tennille and all the people in the studios, and I was good at my job, and I was quick, and I could demand double, triple scale, and I went to work, and I was high every day. The devil was trying to kill me, but I had a praying grandmother, never turned a back on me. Hallelujah. One time when I was in Houston, Texas, I met a man there, and I was getting ready to go on the road with Chaka Khan, and there was a group going on the road with us, Heatwave, and they had a man working with them, and he was doing their lights, and I didn't know this, but I met him on the road, and he was a nice guy, and you never would know it to look at him, but he was also, not only was a light director, but he was a cocaine dealer. The devil knows how to really do it. So we began to be friends, and we began to date, and I began to get all the cocaine I wanted for free. How many of you know it wasn't for free? But we came home, me and this young man, and we began to live together, and he was still selling drugs, and I began to make drops for him. I was dropping off cocaine and making a lot of foolish turns in my life, and my life began to do this spiral, downward spiral. I was going to hell. Then I began to watch Christian television. I began to watch Dr. Frederick Casey Price. Hallelujah. No matter what time I went to bed on Saturday night, whether it was 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, somehow our eyes popped open at 8:30. Evidence? And I have to be honest with you. I used to sit there with my pre-rolled joints from the night before, and I used to fire up a joint and watch Dr. Price. And I used to kind of, Dr. Price, you know how I am. I used to kind of make fun of Dr. Price. I said, well, just look at how my face come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. But faith came. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him tonight. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Just see. For about 2 years, I watched Christian television. I was in and out, and I bought a Bible, and I would throw away all of the paraphernalia to smoke crack with and to smoke free base, and we used to make it and make our own. I threw it all in the trash, and then I'd go get it again, and we'd get high. And one night, as I was getting loaded, I began to pass out, and my head hit the wall. Boom! And I began to slide down the wall, and as I came to, all of my bodily fluids were doing their own thing, and I was dying. But I had a praying grandmother, and I knew enough to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It wasn't a couple of days later that I was watching Christian television, and Grandma tells me she was laying on her face during this time, and she had been fasting for 2 weeks and just calling on the name of Jesus. Save my granddaughter. Save my granddaughter, Jesus. I watched Christian TV one night, and it was as if God himself said, that's enough. And he rebuked the devil from me long enough for me to make an intelligent decision. And I said, Jesus, if you'll turn me back, I want to come home if you'll take me. said, Jesus, I know you're real. If you'll just take all of this away from me, take all of the drugs, take them away, I'm tired. And I want you to know that instantly I was set free. Instantly I was delivered. Hallelujah. Glory.
Lifting up the name of Jesus.
That joy in my heart, I want the whole world to know that
I'm lifting up the name of Jesus.
Yes, I am.
See you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. And that was Helen Baylor. Testimony is something about a prayer, Grandmama. You know, I got up this morning thinking about my praying grandmother. You know, there is time.
Cannot hear you.
Oh, my God. I said, there's nothing like a praying grandmother. Nothing like a praying grandmama. And I tell you, as we begin to become very intentional about the breath, I want us to take in a deep breath and just give thanks for all that is in this right now moment, just giving thanks to the Most High God for what is. And as we become very intentional about this breath, because there's power in the breath, family, no matter what's happening, if we just stop to breathe, just breathe. I want you to become very intentional right now. By taking in that breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, and then hold it to the count of eight, and then release, seeing the breath. And in this right now moment, I just want you to come into the oneness of the power of the breath. There is power in the breath, family. And I want you to breathe. Breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. Breathe and release. Just breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, together, I want us to breathe, family. Just breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we call in the energy of forgiveness, just want you to call in the energy of forgiveness. And as we move into that energy of forgiveness, I can't help but think about Rochelle. Today we celebrate her life and all the chaos that's around because people haven't forgiven. They're holding on. Upset and angry. Angry because what's in the wheel. Angry because what she did and didn't do. And angry, just angry, just angry. And remember, when we do our work, that work moves into the universe. And so today, as we do our forgiveness energy, let's send energy of forgiveness, peace, into ourselves, into our own environments, into our own communities, and also into the family and friends of those who love Rochelle. We just call forth peace as we call forth the energy of forgiveness.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Today, I forgive myself. Totally and unconditionally. And as I offer myself forgiveness, I extend this forgiveness out to those around me and into my community. And we send forgiveness, energy, and love and peace as we extend it into our own life, recognizing wherever we are, peace is. Wherever we are, peace is. We are the presence of peace. Peace, be still. Be still and know that I am peace. As we send peaceful, loving energy around those who loved and cared and was in relation with Rochelle, we just give thanks today as we celebrate the gift of Rochelle today. We give thanks that we celebrate the life of one special gift to the planet. And we give thanks for the very essence of life. Making peace with our presence, making peace with our past, and making peace so that peace can be the way we walk and the way we talk. Where we move and have our being. Father God, Mother God, divine and precious Holy Spirit, I ask you to come forth and bring forth a fresh anointing upon each and every person under the sound of my voice. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless each person right now, God. I ask you to come and bring peace where there's no peace, God. I ask you to bring peace in their home right now, God. Peace in their relationships, God. Peace in all the relationships. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a fresh anointing. That nothing but peace can be around us. God, I ask you to bring a a fresh anointing upon this call this morning, God. I ask you to bless each and every person, God. I ask you to allow every word that is spoken, that it would be your word and not my word, God. I ask you to move every part of me this morning, God. I ask you to bring forth the blessing of you, God, to remove all of me, God, and let all of you come forth in the mighty consciousness of you, God. I ask you to let every thought be your thought and every word be your word, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and let every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart come from my higher mind self, God, and that each word that I speak will be yours, that I may speak to somebody's heart today, God, that I may speak to somebody's mind today. Come, and let there be light. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for this beautiful, amazing day. As we move and have our being in peace. And so it is. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and welcome to this experience this morning. I was talking to someone the other day as we hung out and laid in the Japanese garden on the grass, and one of the interesting things I said I used to love when I was growing up was the Bible stories. I used to love to go to Sunday school because I loved the Bible. I used to love the stories, the Sunday school stories, and learn about Jesus and learn about Nicodemus and learn about all Gideon, all the different stories, Moses and Joshua. And as I woke this morning, I remember one of my stories that stuck out in my mind as when I'm going through a change in my life or something is going on. I thought about the story of the disciples being in the boat and Jesus, and the storm came. Thought about it from a different perspective today. With that, I thought about how Jesus was in the back sleeping. And had when somebody wakes you up and how irritated you are because you're having this good old sleep. Jesus was sleeping good. And I'm sure when they woke him up, he was irritated. But the disciples were afraid. They had this raging sea and waves was mounting up. And they called Jesus' name as he was sleeping. And they woke him, Jesus, you don't care that we are perishing? Jesus looked and said, what? You know, I'm going to have to add my little commentary to it. He got up. He looked over at the disciples. He looked at the wind, and he said, he rebuked the wind and the sea, and he said, peace, be still. He commanded the sea and the wind to die down. Peace, be still. Peace. And he looked over at the disciples and said, why are you so afraid? Oh, ye of little faith. And even though the seas were roaring, the waves were pounding, and everything felt tumultuous and felt like in their mind that this was the end. And even though through all of the storm, Jesus was the calm. And I thought about all 12 disciples. And Jesus got up and spoke, peace. Why are you so afraid? He calmed the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the seas were hushed just by his words of peace, be still. Even after being awoken, he rebuked the wind and he silenced it. And the wind abated, and there was this great calm that came over the sea. And a great calm that came over the disciples because the disciples were really afraid. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, wake up. Wake up, Jesus. We need you right now. And I thought about that story as I woke up today because somebody asked me, why do you start off all your prayers with be still and know that I am God? Be still and know that I am God. Oftentimes, when I pray that because it calms my spirit. Be still that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I started saying that when I was in the midst of a situation and my energy and my anxiety would rise, I would simply say, be still, and remind myself of my higher presence, of my knowing that my oneness with the presence can rebuke the wind. My oneness of the presence can calm and silence the sea and the wind. But something happens when I speak the words, be still and know that I am God. Everything in my presence gets still. And it is in the stillness that I know that God is, and that I can do all things in Christ that strengthens me. I know I can do all things. But it's in the stillness. Peace. Be still. In the midst, people used to ask me, how do you stay married? 30 years, I said, peace, be still. You see, in the middle of a process of a disagreement, I just go inside and just say, peace, be still. And send love and energy around our situation. You see, oftentimes, I realize in that story, it only took one person. Oh, ye of little faith. It only took one person to have enough faith to shift the winds, to shift the molecules in the atmosphere, to calm the raging sea. And if you've ever been in a raging sea, it can be nothing like you ever seen before. The words, peace, be still. And being in the very presence of stillness within can instill the calm, instill the raging sea, and calm the winds. Can you imagine just having peace within your own processes in your life can change the atmosphere? It can change the atmosphere. I want you to just say in your mind, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Be still and know that I am God. He commanded the raging sea. He commanded the tumultuous wind. And in that roaring of the seas and in the pounding of the waves, it didn't move Jesus one bit. Because something powerful happens when you get in your oneness. I am one with the Almighty Presence. When you stand in your authority and someone comes up against you and it just will rebuke their energy, it'll automatically shut them down and they won't even know what happened. And so today, I just want us to remind us that we have the power. The power to bring peace where there's no peace, family. We have the power to bring peace where there's no peace. It only takes one person to be the presence of love. When love is absent, it only takes one person to be the presence of peace where peace is absent. And what's so powerful is that you don't even have to open your mouth. You remember you're a rock star. And the voice that never opens the literal vibration of your lips can just say inside, peace, be still. And your eyes will be so penetrating that you will be penetrating the very essence of who you are in your highest form. There's something about that energy will calm the raging sea. Bring peace to the raging wind. Today, family, I want us to reside in peace. I thought about our praying grandmothers, you know, back in the day. And I thought about how we say these children don't have no respect for people and it ain't like it used to be. But I realized it's not just all the kids either. You see, it was a praying grandma that went outside that stopped. And even if it wasn't their mother, their grandmother, or they didn't know, it was something about her inner strength that didn't allow them to come up on her. It was something about our granddaddy's inner strength. They used to walk out in the street and they didn't bother. If granddaddy told them that they were being disrespectful, then calm it down. So I started to think about the real answer. It's not just a prayer. Now, it wasn't just that we had praying grandmothers, but it's because they knew how to come from a place of power. You see, you saw a certain strength in the eyes of our grandmothers and granddaddies that you don't necessarily see today. You see, there was a certain strength that even sickness couldn't kill their body. I was reading a medical journal, and they was talking about women. They had found all these women who had died at 80 and 90 who had fibroid tumors for years in their body or cancer that had been found in their bodies for years. Wonder what had happened if they had found out they had cancer and then they went into fear mode, they probably would have died early, right? There's something that happens when you come from your place of power. There's something happens when you power up. And so I realized why every morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock, Grandmama's feet was hitting the floor. She was powering up. She wasn't just praying to pray, but she was praying to power up so that when ye's of old little face came running to Grandma, she could say, peace, be still. You see, when we had that ferocious thing going on in our life and we just didn't know how to handle it, we can go to Grandma, and Grandma knew how to stand in her place of power, and she knew how to call forth. Even if those words were not the words that were spoken, there was something about Grandma's presence and words that calmed you down, that you knew everything was going to be all right. And I'm sure when the disciples called on the name of Jesus, come on, Jesus, wake up. Jesus, wake up. Wake up, Jesus. And when they activated the presence of Jesus, Jesus got up and looked at them irritated and upset because he was tired. Now I'm trying to get some rest. You don't know how to use your own spiritual tools. All right, let me come out here. Peace. Be still. What I realized is that our grandmothers and granddaddies and our forefathers and ancestors wanted us to know how to use our own spiritual tools. But somehow we got deluded and veiled and forgot that we had tools. And we operate in a place of that we forgot that we had our own power. And so as we move through today's day, as we move through our life, remember you have the power to call forth peace.
I think one of the keys to life happiness and success is about learning and always moving forward in a place called peace. Perfect peace. Interesting, as we move and we come outside and I see people driving, people are more agitated, and all you hear is honking. People are not patient because people are not paying, are not having any inner peace. You know, one of the most powerful places to get inner peace is forgiveness. You know, we live in a beautiful, vast, amazing earth. And how many people really appreciate the beauty of the presence of the earth? Not many, because we're so busy chasing to get from one place to the next. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you become free? I said, freedom is something that you have to experience. It's a lot like love. Like Nina Musumon says, she said, you know, in order to know love, you got to experience love. Love is something you really can't use words to describe, because words really only limit it. But it can give you some sense of what it is. But, and that's what freedom is. Freedom is a lot like love. But I don't need to get free. I think you have to have an inner peace. I think you got to look deep in your heart and find that inner peace. But to get to that inner peace, I think a lot of times we have to let go and release and forgive. The more we interact, experience other human beings, the more forgiveness may have to come up. And I explained, in order to be free, I think we have to forgive, and forgiveness can bring that inner peace. I think it's important that we stop holding on to stuff, family. Now, in my opinion, it seems like people are leaving the planet faster than I've ever seen. Could be that maybe because I don't know if it's the age thing, because people younger and young people are even leaving the planet. It's just something about what's going on right now. Mother Earth may be cleansing herself. But I tell you, in this lifetime that we physically have, I think it's important that we just learn to be authentic and learn to be true to ourselves and to others. And I think when we think about the story about Jesus, I think Jesus was a little disappointed in the fact that the disciples didn't have, as long as the disciples had been walking with Jesus and as many miracles that they saw Jesus perform, I think Jesus was a little disturbed by the fact that, because he used, "Oh, ye a little faith," it makes me feel like he thought, well, how come they're not using their own spiritual tools? I've been teaching them. I've been an example of what it looks like in the midst of the storm. I've assisted healing, and I assisted prosperity, and I assisted many things. And I came to be a teacher to show them how to do it themselves, and they still choose to look outside themselves for the answer. I think Jesus wanted them to stand in the wind and tell the wind and speak to the wind. I think Jesus wanted them to speak to the raging sea. And I think with the question, oh, ye of little faith, do you have faith? Why are you so afraid? Why did Jesus ask them why they felt like? You should know the answers. You shouldn't have had to wake me up to speak to the winds when you have dominion over the winds. You didn't have to wake me up when you have dominion and authority and you've been given a mastery over the nature. But since you woke me up, I'm going to go ahead and do what I got to do to calm the wind and the sea so I could remind you of your own gifts. You see, sometimes we forget in the story that our brother was told us that all these things you can do, all these things that I do, you can do, all of them. And you can even do them greater. So if we can do the things Jesus did, if we, I don't even have to do it greater. I told Jesus, like my nephew said, how can I be down like Jesus, Auntie? How can I be down just like Jesus? I don't even have to do it greater. But if I can, let me go ahead and do it. But let me get to the point where my faith and my strength of my power that I can calm a raging sea. Master, Master, we are perishing. But what was interesting about the passage, and he arose when they said, Master, Jesus, come out, Jesus, come. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You see, it's something about he arose. I want you to he arose. He arose. That's not just literally getting up and rising up, but he arose in his consciousness. Because it takes a certain kind of power to rebuke the wind. It takes a certain of standing in your truth to calm the sea. He arose, family. He arose, family, not just rising up from his sleep, but rising up in his consciousness to know his oneness. So I realized that our great grandmothers, grandmothers, and great great greats, as we honor the Mother Earth and mothers who prayed those prayers, they wasn't just praying; they was powering up. That's what came to me this morning. They were powering up. See, when he arose in his consciousness, he powered up. Think about it. It's not the first time a rise happens in the Bible. Now, I don't know how many times yet, but I'm going to study and find out because this just got downloaded into me this morning. A rise. Joshua was told, and go forth into the promised land. What was it told to Joshua? Arise and go forth into the promised land. Why didn't he just say, go forth into the promised land? He said, arise and go forth into the promised land. Even in Lazarus. When we think about even the story of Lazarus, even Lazarus was asked to rise when he was being raised from the dead. And the connection of the rising. I want you to think about that. Arise and move forth. When Jesus receives the message that Lazarus is ill and the two sisters are seeking Jesus' help, Jesus said to the sister something that's interesting. The sickness will not end. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And Jesus delays actually going to see Lazarus. And Jesus said, our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to awaken him. When people misunderstand, he clarifies that Lazarus is dead and sick. And when they arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days. And before they entered the town, Martha, Lazarus' sister, comes to meet Jesus to tell, if you had been here, she's upset. My brother would have not died. And Jesus, in his calm, powerful stillness, assures Martha that her brother will rise again and state, I'm the resurrection and the life. And Martha's affirmation that she does not, that she does believe, she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah. And so upon entering the village, Jesus is deeply moved. Upon seeing their grief and their weeping, and then after asking where was he buried, Jesus asks, did I tell you that if you believed, you'll see the presence of God, the glory? So they took away the stone. Now I want you to see this. Jesus looked up. The story says Jesus looked up and said, Father, Mother God, I thank you that you have heard me. Jesus didn't beg. Jesus looked up. You heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, and that they may believe that you sent me. And Jesus called out in a loud, loud voice, arise, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen. And Jesus said to him, take off your grave clothes and let him go. So I want to just you to think about the operative just looked up and said, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard my prayer. I thank you that you've heard my words. You've heard my words. He said he looked up. So I want you to think about the significance of looking up, the significance or the metaphorical process to rising. When Jesus performed the fish and the miracle story, now, I want you to think about this. In the fish and the miracle story, when everybody doubted, when Jesus said, told the disciples to get the food, and they looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, there's no food here. And Jesus said, feed them anyway. And they said, Jesus, it's not enough food. And I don't know what you mean, feed them anyway. Jesus said, prepare to feed them anyway. Well, Jesus said, get them. Jesus said, no, feed them anyway. And they start to complain. Now, remember, I told you they only need one person to shift the atmosphere, right? And even though the disciples did not believe, The disciples did not believe. When you read the story, the first thing he says, before he even got to that point, the disciples wanted Jesus to send the people away. He said, it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food. And Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. But Jesus, I keep telling you, we only got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring them here. And he directed the people to sit. And the story tells us that he rose up to fish and looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks. He looked up, and he gave thanks. There's something metaphorical and literal about the idea of looking up. And so what I want to leave you with today is that there's power in peace. There's power in you owning your own power. It only takes one person to change the atmosphere. Jesus going back and forth with 12 disciples. I don't need you to send them away. I need you to have faith. I don't need you to keep waking me up. I need you to use your own power. I need you to use your own strength. So today, as we move through, no matter what's going on, whether it's in our body, money, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our life, in our any with our job, whatever, power up and call forth peace. Because there's something powerful to happen when we stand in perfect peace. There's something powerful that happens when we look up, when we arise in our thinking, when we arise in our consciousness. We have power. I think about the story, and I'm going to let you go after this. I live 706 South Creek here in Eastside Blackstone Road. That area was where the Blackstone Rangers were. And I remember this guy who was a big head of the Blackstone Rangers at the time. And came to show. I really didn't even understand what was going on when they were shooting him. They shot this man 10 times. And the man kept standing. And I'm thinking, wow, what kind of superhuman strength did this guy have to be shot that many times, get back up, and keep raging forward? Now, eventually he did get, you know, knocked down and he had to, you know, go to the hospital. He still lived. I was thinking a lot when I was a little girl, wow, where did he get that super kind of superhuman strength that he took down all these people, even though he had been shot 10 times? And I thought about it today, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I said, you know, there's something that happens in the mind that's super, that transcends humanity. He had such a code in his mind of ethics that them bullets wasn't stopping him. It did slow him down a little bit, but it didn't really stop him until he was ready to be stopped. Once he got what he wanted, then he fell to the ground, which was to bring them down. And he didn't have a gun at all. And sometimes I think about that story as people stood around, watched this man get shot, and he brought down all these men. And the gun didn't stop him at all. one man against these guys. It was like four or five of them, and they shot him until there was no more bullets, and he did not go down, all of them down. And then he lay down and collapsed. I was like, wow, there's something superhuman that can transcend this humanity, that can transcend what we see in the physical. And I thought about him, and I thought, wow, what a strength of mind. That you could, even though they was in more fear of his age, and he was coming upon them, and they saw the bullets really wasn't doing nothing to this man. True story. And I thought, I hadn't even thought about that story for years until this morning. I thought about, wow. To transcend this physical world. Remember when Israel came on the call and he talked about being in prison and how he sent his spirit out to go find him a job so that when his physical came out, he could go directly to his job. Family, there's something magical and powerful about you today. It's time to power up. It's time to bring peace where there's no peace, family. Love where there's no love, family. Forgiveness where there's no forgiveness. You have the power. It only takes one person to shift the atmosphere. Power up. That's my message. As we move through today, power up. Power up. Any questions, comments, concerns? If you are available and to know more information about Rochelle, it's going to be at the Church Family Christian Center. You can give me a call, 734-457-5591. If you are interested in making a donation to the Flowers from the Love Journey, you can speak to Claudette at 312-437-4511. And if you want to make any comments, press 1 on Blog Talk. And if you want teleconference, star 6. There's power and peace, family.
Good morning.
I just wanted to call in. Just want to call in because I'm really amazed at sometimes how God just speaks to me with the right message at the right time. Just delighted as well. Your messages just get more powerful and more blessed every time I listen to you. But you're definitely living on purpose. I appreciate that. We were talking about there. And my computer just shut down. I mean, it just went off. And it was different from any other time because it was had enough juice, but it just went off. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of like, you know, I was in the space of the disciples. I was like, oh, my God, what's going on? and so I had been in a really good space. I'm really in a good space when it comes to, I feel like I've grieved Tim's passing in a way that was proper for me and got me to this new place. I'm doing, traveling. I'm bopping along where, nothing's going wrong, as they say. And then when that happened, that threw me for a loop because I'm in a space of powering up in some areas of my life where I feel like I want some results, and I'm ready to create some results that I haven't gotten, and I'm like, okay, I'm on it. And then when that happened, it really threw me for a loop because my computer is essential to what I do as an editor, a book midwife, a writer. And it was like, oh my God. And it kind of messed me up. I lost my peace. I lost my peace. And then I hear you this morning, and even as before I turned, or I say as I was listening to you, I have this little refrigerator magnet that somebody gave me maybe 10 years ago, I mean a long time ago, and I keep it right in my view. And so I happen to look at it, and it says, don't give up, get up. So everything is telling me, and I remember when a woman gave it to me, I was a little bit insulted because I was really at a low point in my life, but I was a little bit insulted that she gave it to me, but I kept it because it was definitely needed. I needed it, but you know how that is. Sometimes the truth hurts. So here you are talking about powering up. And I'm thinking again, here, my computer. I'm trying all night, trying to power that daggone thing up. Not all night, but I let it rest, and I went to it this morning, and I pushed the button, nothing happened. So I'm on my way now to Apple to take it and see if they can power it up. But I just appreciate that it's like I can have peace even in this storm, because this feels like a storm to me. Mm-hmm. Because I got an author who's about to have a book signing October 12th, and we are right at the end of finishing her book, and I'll be quite honest, I did not have a backup. I had already, I'm at a space where I know what I need to do if my stuff is gone from the computer, but it's not what I want to do. But I'm deciding this morning I'm going to have peace about whatever it is. However it turns out, I can have peace about this, and I can feel powerful in the midst of this that feels like my technological storm. For other people, like you said, it could be something else. But for me right now, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. But I can still have peace, and I can know that, that in the midst of everything and anything that happens in my life, the power is within me as to how to handle it or how to address it. And then I don't have to, fall apart. Because yesterday I was all pumped up to, I was going home, I was going to come, I was going to do this, I was going to write this, I was working on another newsletter, and I was feeling good about it, and here it was, boom, stopped. So I just appreciate your messages. I listen sometimes and I can't respond because I might be headed into work or just need to listen and don't need to respond. And just wanted to jump in there before you shut it down and have my say. And by the way, I want to offer you my condolences for your lovely, for lovely Miss Rochelle. I don't know her last name, but I do know, I met her when I was in Chicago, and I was at her home, and what a lovely woman she was. And I'm glad I had the pleasure of having been in her space on that lake in her beautiful home, full of love and generosity. And thank you for sharing her with me, and just sending you love and all those who loved her or love her, because love doesn't die. I'm just sending you love and light.
I appreciate that, Deborah. Thank you so much, Deborah. I called you Deborah. I apologize. I really appreciate that. I really do. I miss her, already.
You miss her? Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do. Of course you do. You're right. I don't know. It does feel like people are leaving, and I say it to someone the other day. It may be this age that I'm in. That when you get older, obviously, you know, that's a part of life, transitioning. I mean, there were two memorial services at my place of worship this past weekend, one on Friday and one on Saturday, and I didn't have it in me to go to either one of them. I felt too close to Tim's memorial service at the very same place. So I understand, you know, and I still miss him. So it'll get easier. They say that, and it does, but I don't know if you ever stop missing. So, I mean, you know, you always, you know, you think about him. And I want to tell you, you play such amazing music. And sometimes I have to turn off, I have to get off the line because I don't know what it is about music that always takes me to Tim. So sometimes I just like, okay, that's enough. That was a good message. Bye bye. Because the music you played this morning, the gospel, it took me to Tim. I don't know what it is about music, but he used to send me music for one. He used to send me music and listen to this, babe, and listen to that, and it. So I appreciate, just know that, you know, you're changing, you're touching souls and changing lives, and you're greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Deborah M. Ricks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you, too. You do the same. I'm proud to see you shining and growing and expanding and doing what you do. Thank you so much. You are such a super amazing gift to the planet. Keep shining.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ms. Akia, I know you've been waiting. Your line's still open if you still want to talk.
Yes, yes, yes. Good God morning, beautiful angel. Lovely lady, Janine. Good morning to you and to all the family. I just wanted to say, besides that was a very powerful message this morning, I just wanted to just wish you well, you know, just let you know that we are all with you today as you're going in to celebrate the life of our beautiful Rochelle, Mama Rochelle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was looking at her picture. I was scrolling through, just sent some pictures to me, and I'm just sad that we won't have an opportunity to see her beautiful face again. But the wonderful thing about the way we are created is that we have the ability to remember. And we do remember her smile and remember her just loving spirit. And I know it's going to be harder for you all than it would be for me, but I know she'll often come to mind just because of who she was. So just go forth and, you know, be blessed and be at peace. Be still and know that I am God and is with you always. Today and always.
Yes.
Love to you and your family. All right, Queen.
Yes.
Love you so much. Peace and blessings.
Love you too. Peace and blessings to you. Thank you, Zakiya. You're one of the most sweetest gifts to the planet. When I think of sweet and I think of someone who is just always pouring honey, I think of you as honey. You're always pouring honey everywhere you go. Deborah, when you were speaking, I was thinking of this song. I don't know, this song came to my mind, and I want you to know, and I want to dedicate all this song to all of you all. But particularly, this came to my mind when you were speaking, Deborah. I love the words to this song. I hope you're still on the line. I hope you can take in these words. And I hope that each and every one of you can take in the words of this song, because sometimes I lay out in the grass and I think about how blessed we are. From the sun. It says the words are some. You are so beautiful that the sun was made just to bless you. You are so beautiful that the moon's glow was just made to bless you. That the wind was made to touch you. And I just want y'all to really breathe in the words to this and know that you are beautiful.
May the song bless you today and remind you that you are a gift from God and that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. And remember the truth. Love, love is the only choice. And remember, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. I love you all. Thank you for the love and light that you are sending to me today. And all those who love Rochelle, you all will know that I want that love to come back to you a billionfold today. May you be reminded that you are beautiful.
Just